Hello, listeners. A very warm welcome to the Big Unlock podcast. My name is Ritu M. Oberoi, and I'm the managing partner here at Bigrio Demo and the co-host of the Big Unlock podcast, along with Rohit. We are extending a very warm welcome today to Dr. Michael Hasselberg. He's been on our Big Unlock podcast before in 2022, season 4, episode 138. So welcome back. Dr. Hasselberg is the Chief Transformation and Digital Officer at Nebraska Medicine, where he's leading enterprise-wide efforts to modernize care delivery through digital innovation and operational transformation. He has a background in emergency medicine, public health, and informatics, and he brings a uniquely systems-oriented perspective to scaling technology in complex health environments. So today he's joining us on the Big Unlock podcast, and we're really excited to have this conversation. And with that, I'll give it to Rohit for his introduction, and then it's all yours, Dr. Hasselberg. Welcome once again. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Ritu. Welcome, Michael, to the podcast. Really nice to have you again, as Ritu said. I'm CEO for Bigrio and also the co-host of the Big Unlock podcast. So short intro from our side, over to you.
It's great to be back. And a lot has happened since we last talked in 2022. So I'm excited to dive in with both of you.
Yeah, almost seems a different
world
era. Yeah, seriously. So Dr. Hasselberg, we always love to start with an origin story because our listeners like to, you know, hear, and we also come to know really like different and unique stories about how people got into like healthcare and, you know, how they got to where they are currently. So if you would like to start with that, we'd love to hear your story. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. You know, first and foremost, I'm a nurse and very proud of being a nurse, and went on to become a psychiatric nurse practitioner very early in the psychiatric nurse practitioner movement. So when I graduated, there weren't actually any jobs for psych MPs in the city of Rochester. So my first job as a nurse practitioner was about 1.5-2 hours away from the city of Rochester, where I drove every day to this very rural community in New York State, where I was the only psychiatric prescriber for about 6 counties. So I managed the outpatient psychopharm clinic, and I managed the jails, the nursing homes. And this was a pretty transformative experience for me. That experience really made me very passionate around serving vulnerable communities. The patients that I served were just so grateful that I was willing to drive so far every day to come down to their community to provide care. And that experience really became my underlining why for the rest of my career of like, how can we find more efficient ways to get healthcare out to communities that unfortunately weren't getting the care that they deserved? And so from there, you know, went on and finished a very traditional research PhD. And after that, I was really tasked to develop a telehealth infrastructure for psychiatry at the University of Rochester. And this was well before telehealth was cool or even reimbursed in the state, and built a very large telehealth infrastructure across New York State, ended up reaching a point where I couldn't grow telehealth any further because I couldn't graduate clinicians fast enough to take on more patients on the other end. And so that's when I really leaned into innovation, and I started thinking about, could we use technology without needing a clinician on the other end to deliver care? So I got into the world of mobile apps, started working with the engineering school and computer science department to develop mobile apps for behavioral health, moved from mobile apps into virtual reality when the first Oculus Quest headset came out, and you now had a VR headset that was affordable, powerful, not tethered to a computer, and started developing mindfulness and meditation applications in VR headsets. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, now I had different layers of digital interventions. I had apps, I had telehealth, I had VR headsets, I had in-person care. I got really interested in data science and was like thinking to myself, could I use big data to risk stratify patients to the right level of care at the right time in the right place? And so got really interested in machine learning and data science, you know, about 7 or 8 years ago. COVID hit and every health system had to go digital overnight. And I got put into a new position as chief digital health officer at Rochester to really lead that digital transformation strategy. And about 2-3 years ago, when the world got introduced to generative AI, our innovation team at Rochester got early access to some of those foundation models in a secured private way. And I was pretty blown away with the power of those pre-trained foundation models, where I was actually at that time, so this was around 2022 when we last met and talked, I was making comments in national forums that I felt that with the advent of generative AI, it's never been easier for health systems to develop their own AI tools in-house to solve their own problems versus having to rely on vendors to do that. And that's when I got to meet a gentleman named Dr. Michael Ash, who was serving as the chief transformation officer at Nebraska Medicine. And Dr. Ash is a very innovative, entrepreneurial, visionary thought leader himself from a technology standpoint. And we started exchanging ideas. And Dr. Ash eventually was named to be the incoming president and CEO of Nebraska Medicine. And he invited me to come out to Omaha as a visiting professor to see his health system. And I fell in love with Nebraska and Omaha and that health system. And it was a very hard decision because I love Rochester through and through. But I took the leap to join Nebraska Medicine to serve in Dr. Ash's former role as Chief Transformation Digital Officer at Nebraska.
Wow, that's a great recounting of the entire story. Thank you. Really interesting for our listeners to hear that as well. And from that, I think one thing that I really picked up on is that your title emphasizes transformation and not just, chief digital officer. So what's the difference and where do most health systems fall short when trying to bridge that gap? Because usually we just see chief digital officer, or chief AI officer, but to have, transformation and digital officer, that's like a good title. So I was curious about that.
Oh, it's again, one of the things that excited me about Nebraska Medicine is they're, I would argue, more mature and out ahead in regards to their leadership structure, very nimble in regards to their number of chiefs that report directly up to the CEO and president. There are 6 chiefs, the chief transformation digital officer being one, but we also have the chief operating officer, the chief financial officer, chief medical officer, chief nursing officer, and then the chief legal people officer is the same. And then the structure goes down below that. What excited me about Nebraska to do transformation at scale, it goes well beyond just technology. And so in my role, I'm accountable for 3 main verticals, IT. So the chief information officer reports up to me and the IT department. I'm also accountable for our innovation and venture arm, which we can dig in deeper if the listeners want to. And we're doing some really cool stuff on the innovation side. And I'm also accountable for the strategy office. So, we have a vice president of strategy enablement and under that, an entire strategy office that looks at the market, guides on acquisitions and joint ventures. The strategy office is where our AI efforts and engineers sit. And so really having strategy, innovation, and IT underneath essentially a transformation office, we've got the right ingredients to really do those transformational efforts at scale. And so that's what's, I think really, really exciting for me and why I took the leap to Nebraska, because I think we're really well positioned from a structure standpoint to not only improve the lives of all Nebraskans, I'm going to argue we're going to be the gold standard for the rest of the country of what the future of healthcare is going to look like.
That's really a good answer. And I think that this concept of having these 3 different things reporting into you, IT, innovation, and strategy, I think that's directly related to the next question, because we see You know, recurring issue when we talk to a lot of chief AI officers or chief digital officers is a lack of operational ownership for these digital initiatives, which then, you know, leads to most pilots, you know, being failing or just going into obscurity. So I think this is really good that you have these three different arms under you and you're fully responsible for that. So I think that must be ensuring the success of a lot of these initiatives. So we would love to hear more about the venture arm, like you said. You know, that would be very interesting, I think, for our listeners. How are you incubating and, you know, what's your approach to developing these new technologies?
Yeah, one of the things that's really kind of cool is, you know, we already have a commitment from the health system, a commitment from the university, a commitment from our states, and a commitment from our philanthropists in our community to build a $2.2 billion hospital of the future. It's already started. We've got a hole in the ground, we've started construction, and the doors will open up for this new hospital on our main campus in about 5 years. And we know with healthcare changing so quick, especially with technology changing so quick, it's really, really hard to think, what is the hospital room of the future 5 years from now going to look like? That is a really hard question to answer. So to prepare ourselves to answer that question, we've made already a significant investment in our innovation ecosystem. So we've already made hundreds of millions of dollars of investment into our Edge District. And so, you know, our Edge District is, you know, really focused on two things, what I would call the inside out innovation. So that is our researchers who are developing new intellectual property. And, you know, we're looking to potentially commercialize that and spin out startups. You know, that sits in our Edge District, but also local startups that want to get into healthcare and understand healthcare problems get involved in our Edge District. Also on the university side, we've made significant investments in simulation and education of our future leaders. And so we have a program called IXL. I believe it's one of the largest, if not the largest, sim center in the entire country. They're using technology that's very frontier. You know, we're leaning a lot into holograms. We actually have a hologram theater where we can create holograms almost the size of houses of hearts and organs that our students can interact with. Of course, we've got simulation rooms and surgical simulation suites within that building. But then the really, I think, unique and exciting thing is our innovation design unit and bridge program. And that actually sits in Nebraska Medicine. So we have built a 17-bed med-surg unit that can scale up to an ICU unit if need be, but it's got all the bells and whistles of technology. And to the point that the unit itself is modular, all glass, you touch the glass, it frosts over. And the staff that we hire to work in the innovation design unit, the clinicians, when we interview them, we look at their behavioral profiles. Are these staff agile, knowing that the way they deliver care and the technology they use to deliver care is going to be constantly changing and iterating? There's literally a bridge off of that unit to our IDU, our Innovation Design Unit Bridge Program, where it's a mock-up, small mock-up of that unit. And that's where we have our engineers and our data scientists and our clinicians who are bringing in vendors, or we're building new technology. We're simming it out on the bridge program, the nurses and physicians can come over and play with it and test it. And then we bring it out live with patients in that innovation unit. That the learnings from those technologies is what is informing us of what we're going to put in Project Health, our new hospital of the future. And to be honest, I've been to innovation programs around the country at some of the leading health systems. I have never seen anything like this.
Amazing. So these holograms are like digital twins?
Yeah. So this is, yep, sits on the university side. And essentially, as we're training students, you know, we can put in radiology images and it will create a hologram of that radiology image of that organ. And so students can interact with the hologram as they're learning anatomy, learning how to do surgery. The cool other thing is Nebraska is a rural state, and the University of Nebraska, we have four campuses. One of our campuses is out in a rural part of the state, and we have a new medical school cohort starting up on that campus. And the university has worked really hard at how do we transmit these holograms remotely out to that campus so our faculty specialists in Omaha can continue to support and teach those students at a distance using this forward-thinking technology. So again, really, really special, really unique. And it's also what I love, being an academic health system, to really partner with the university side around educating our future clinicians so they are ready to function in that hospital of the future that's going to be digitally enabled and AI augmented.
Nice.
I was very curious, Michael, about that there's so much innovation going on. Is there any way that how do you prioritize and allocate resources? And if you would like to talk about any success stories that come to your mind and some failures as well, maybe from a learning perspective.
Yeah. You know, so again, I think the maturity of our structure. So we have purposely put AI, specifically our AI engineers, data analytics, our data scientists in our strategy office. The strategy office is always keeping the projects that we take on aligned with the most important priorities of the health system. So starting with our board metrics down to what we call our Delta projects, which I will get into that next, and then into our OKR projects. And so like we are very, very thoughtful if a new use case gets submitted. We have a very rigorous way of evaluating that use case. And where you get most points on the priority score is the strategic alignment of that use case to our top priorities. We actually have within our strategy office a team of process engineers. And so when a use case gets submitted, we put our process engineers on it to really understand what is the problem that's trying to be solved, what are the workflows that are involved with that problem. The process engineers work really closely with our enterprise architects and solution architects in IT to make sure, do we already have a technology on our tech stack that could be a potential solution to this problem? And then if we don't have a technology, we go through the build versus buy conundrum of do we just build it ourselves or do we just buy it? I'm going to argue that we are more of a build shop, and that has not always been the case in healthcare, but we build in-house about a new generative AI tool, one per month. We have 28 that we have built ourselves that are deployed at scale. And those AI use cases, which again are usually aligned with some of our biggest health system priorities, we put up what we call a Delta team around those use cases. And so the Delta team includes operators, it includes clinicians, it includes informaticists and technologists. And we make sure that not only from build, but through deployment, we've resourced it properly for it to be successful for us to scale it. And once it's scaled and up and running, the Delta team moves to the next project, and that just gets maintained as one of our operational programs within the health system. Where we've had a ton of success is focusing in on back office type stuff. So throughput through the hospital, clinical capacity. We've built AI tools that help identify what patients in our hospital are ready for discharge, automate the processes to notify the nurses of, hey, this patient's ready to go. You just need to put in these orders so we can move that patient off the floor into our discharge lounge and get them out of the hospital. Very similar tools around our transfers. You know, we support a lot of rural hospitals across the state of identifying which patients are appropriate to be transferred to us at the quaternary hospital. And then when the patient is with us, we use AI to identify, hey, this patient is ready to be transferred back. Through that, just automating the capacity of management, we've created over 30 net new beds in our hospital. Not actually build new beds, but net new beds from just automating those processes. And so we've had success there. We've automated a lot of our scheduling and surgical optimization. So we get the right patients in to see our surgeons at the right time. The rev cycle process, we've had a lot of success of automating that process from denials to prior authorizations to, you know, we've moved on to registries and freeing up our nurses so they're not manually extracting data to submit up to a registry. We're going to have the AI extract that data for our nurses. So you have a lot of success, again, on those back office areas of us building and deploying at scale. An example of it's become a success, but, you know, an area that initially we had significant resistance is I had a faculty member, you know, he's a heart surgeon. He's brilliant, you know, super smart. You know, he went off to a conference, an AI vendor met with him and said, hey, I've got this great solution for you to help identify structural heart defects so we can get the appropriate patients in to see you as the surgeon more efficiently. He had come back with this preconception of like, this is the tool he needs. And it was adamant of, we need this tool. The vendor says it's right out of the box, plug and play, fully integrated into the EHR. And I needed this yesterday. And I had to spend a lot of time with him to take a step back. What is the problem you're trying to solve? And try to fully understand that and said, you know, we've got tools in-house and a data science team that I think not only can we build the same solution that this vendor is trying to sell to us, I think we can build it better because it's going to be personalized to your workflow. He was very hesitant and resistant and said, I've heard this before. I don't have 6 months to a year for you to build something. We got him past that. We were able to build a solution within less than a month. And him and his service line are very happy because, again, not only is it meeting the needs to solve his problem, it's very personalized to his workflow.
Nice. Those are really good examples that you've given. We were ready to hear the usual ambient and, you know, scribe. So these are different. You've talked about different things, which is nice, Dr. Hasselbaum.
Something to know about Nebraska, which people don't. When I think of the two most transformative technologies in healthcare to date. On the patient side, no one will question telemedicine has been the most transformative technology to date. Nebraska, in Nebraska medicine, we were the birthplace of telemedicine. So telemedicine started with us in the Department of Psychiatry in partnership with the Bell Telephone Company in the 1950s. So people don't know that. When you think about the most transformative technology on the provider side, no question, ambient documentation is the most transformative technology on the provider side. We were the first digital scribe pilot site in the country in partnership with Nuance and Rush in Chicago to co-develop that technology. So the two most transformative technologies in healthcare, Nebraska was on the forefront of that. So I could absolutely about ambient documentation or our successes there. But I do want to highlight, we were one of the first with Nuance years and years ago as they were developing that technology out.
Great information. Yeah, the listeners would love to, you know, hear that. So we're almost at the end. Time's flown by. We would love to hear, you know, what you see maybe in the next year or year and a half, you know, 2 years. What do you think are the new things coming down the pipeline, which are going to be, you know, as transformative, maybe as ambient or scribing?
Yeah, I can tell you, and this may not be the sexy answer that the listeners want to hear, the biggest transformative project that I have kicked off as the new Chief Transformation Officer at Nebraska is actually a cleanup project. So I have just kicked off application rationalization, and it's not an IT-driven project. It's a health system strategic project. You know, over the years. And I think it's part of the innovative culture at Nebraska. You know, we've had significant application sprawl. So the point of our technology stack is very, very complex. And I have made an argument that if we really want to continue to be the leaders in AI and innovation, we have to simplify our tech stack. Not only is it going to create more standardized workflows across the system, but it's going to free up my people, like my technologists, my informaticists, my innovators. They're spread really thin because they're managing so many applications. And so we're really, really excited. And, you know, I think, you know, where I'm going to be able to cut 2/3 of the applications that are sitting on my tech stack out over the next couple of years, which is just going to create, again, more efficiencies, more innovation, and set us up even better from a data enablement standpoint to continue to lean into AI. So not the sexy answer, but it's almost like spring cleaning, and we've got a lot of it to do.
I'd like to add to that. I think it's also an opportunity to perhaps those applications which remain, perhaps infuse them with more AI.
100%. 100%. We're going to lean into our core applications, and we're going to lean into their functionality. And every vendor right now is introducing AI functionality in. And again, I want to lean into my core platforms. And in order to do that, I've got to get the noise off. So where it is a health system level strategy, it is not an IT driven initiative. And I'm really excited. We've already been able to identify and get rid of several applications already. So
Great.
So I think we're almost at the end of the podcast, and I'm sure the listeners have a lot to unpack, and we've learned a lot of new and interesting things about Nebraska as well. Thank you so much for sharing, Dr. Hasselberg, and thank you once again for being on our podcast.
I loved it. This was a lot of fun, and hopefully you guys will invite me back, you know, 4 years from now on that 4-year cadence. We'll be right around the time we're opening up our Hospital of the Future, and boy, will technology have changed quite a bit in 4 years.
That sounds good. We'll definitely be there for that. Thank you so much for being on our podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys. Bye. Have a great one.